Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My name is Molly McLaughlin, and I own a company that optimizes sleep through technology, accountability, and behavioral change. Each week, I'll be interviewing world-class experts ranging from doctors, innovators, and thought leaders to give actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to become a more skillful sleeper. Let's jump into your dose of practical sleep training. Welcome to the Sleep as a Skill podcast. My guest today is Esther Bloom, and I will share with you all about her background and why you want to make sure you listen to this podcast if you're looking to improve your sleep and know, or maybe you don't know, that improving your gut health can make a huge difference on your sleep results. And this is actually part of a series of podcast episodes that I'm starting to drip out the release of over the next few weeks that I had recorded quite some time ago. And I'm excited. We've actually brought on some new people to help with the process of getting all these podcasts out to you guys. So I'm very excited to finally get this out because Esther provided a lot of information in here. So I think you're going to really enjoy it. But a little bit about her background. She is a nutritionist and author of Cave Women Don't Get Fat. Great title. How Your Gut Health is Preventing You from Getting Restful Sleep. And, you know, what really we go into on this episode is how much our gut health really serves as a powerful tool for hormone regulation and the importance of paying attention to this area for optimizing your sleep results. So she's going to give a lot of practical information on steps that you can take now to make a difference in this area. But first, a little bit about Esther's background. Esther Bloom is an integrative dietitian and high-performance coach. She has helped thousands of women by teaching her clients how to get clear and decisive about what to eat while healing their relationship with food and their bodies. Esther is the best-selling author of Cave Women Don't Get Fat, Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous, Secrets of the Gorgeous, and the Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous Project. She currently maintains a busy virtual practice where she provides 360 degrees of healing with physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual support. Esther believes that diet and supplements are the foundation to healing, but treating the whole person is paramount. Widely respected as an industry expert, Esther was voted Best Nutritionist by Manhattan Magazine. She has appeared on Dr. Oz, The Today Show, A Healthy You, Isaac Show, ABC TV, Fox Fives, Good Day New York, Fox News Live, and Esther is an in-demand authority frequently quoted in E! Online, In Touch, Time Magazine, New York Post, The Los Angeles Times, In Style, Bazaar, Self, Fitness, Marie Claire, and Cosmo. So you're going to really enjoy what Esther has to say on this topic of health and sleep. Now, before we get into the podcast, I do want to take a quick minute to give a shout out to our sponsor, BetterHelp, or as I like to call it, a therapist in your pocket. It's the exact app that I used when I was going through my really challenging period of insomnia while traveling overseas. And the ability to maintain a consistent therapist in real life was just really not an option for me since we were jumping around from country to country. So the ability to, with using my phone, have video calls weekly with my therapist, I was paired with I connected with a great therapist right off the bat, but I do know other people who have been able to kind of shop around with some of the therapists on that app until they find a great fit for them. And in between those calls, one of the things that I found was really helpful is that you can also send voice notes, text messages, images in between that, you know, longer weekly video call so that you do have this really very real ongoing connection and support that I certainly, at least in my experience, hadn't felt with real life therapists that I had used in the past. And also the pricing structure is much more competitive than a lot of the real life therapists that you can come into contact with. So I found it to be a lot of benefits. I recommend it to a lot of people that are just kind of going through struggles in their life or just simply want to be able to up level and bring in that level of reflection and awareness into their life. about what's both working and not working, and you can certainly cancel at any time. And for our sleepy community, the BetterHelp company has hooked us up with 10% off if you go to betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill. Again, betterhelp.com/sleepisaskill. Welcome to the Sleep is a Skill podcast. I am so grateful for you being able to take the time out.
Thank you so much for having me, Molly. I'm stoked to be here.
Oh, so awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for our conversation. So I think we can just jump right into the beginning of how it is that you got into this area of work for yourself and how this can relate to this conversation that we're so passionate about over here at Sleep is a Skill on how this can make a difference for people with their sleep.
Yeah. So, well, I got into nutrition, into clinical nutrition, because I was surrounded by physicians. My grandfather was an ears, nose, and throat surgeon, and he took my tonsils out in his home. He had an operating room in his home in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, Brooklyn, and he trained my grandmother, who was then a dietitian, to be the anesthesiologist. So she literally put the ear mask over my face. So, you know, just I'm 6 or 7 years old. I sleep over Nanny and Poppy's house. I go downstairs in my nightgown and like go on the operating table and have my tonsils out. Just another day in paradise. So my dad was a dermatologist. My mother was a nurse. Cousins were pharmacists. So we were a real medical family. And I knew I did not want to go to medical school, much to my grandfather's dismay. He told me I would never, when I told him, I said, I'm going to go into clinical nutrition because it's pre-med degree, basically. It's less physics. It's no physics and a little less chemistry. He was like, why would you do that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like, you'll never be a success. You're never going to make money. I was like, oh yeah, watch me. So
I love that. The challenge accepted.
That was a good challenge. I saw his challenge and met him. So I began the sleep piece though, Molly, happened when I gave birth. My son is now 13 as we record this in 2020. I had never had any sleep issues in my life. The month before my wedding, I couldn't sleep. I took some Ambien here and there and that was that and did acupuncture and was fine. After my son was born, I nursed him for a year and my sleep did not go back to normal. It didn't even come back. I mean, I was sleeping 2 to 4 hours a night, maybe broken sleep. I was working and writing my second and third book then and had severe postpartum depression. Didn't really know that I even had it. No, like I am a perfect example of being a practitioner who fell right through the cracks with all of this and then proceeded to bounce from practitioner to practitioner to practitioner. And to this day, no one really knows what happened. I have people, team, you know, great medical team working on it. And, you know, we clear out one thing after the other. I'm not on any medication anymore. I use natural medicine, but by no means is my sleep normal, but I totally function and I feel fine. So my goal in coming on today is really to save other people from going what I've been through. To this day, I'm one of the worst cases I've ever seen. So I know my purpose is to do it and help other people through what I've gone through and to show you there's light on the other side.
Well, thank you so much for saying that, because actually that was a big part of why I had created Sleep as a Skill, because when I went through my period of insomnia, it sounds like a similar conversation to yours. And one of the big things I wanted to hear more of was that those success stories, that it's not always going to be like that. Because when I was in it, you know, when you're in the storm, it can feel like, oh my God, is this how life is going to be for me? Am I just destined to have this reality? And so thank you for one, sharing that. And two, I'd love to hear more. So I'm taking notes as you're speaking. And I'm wondering if you can help paint the picture, walk us through what did begin to work to help begin bringing back that normalcy to, or homeostasis to a degree, to your sleep. And I know you've done a lot of work around, you know, hormones and rebalancing of what was out of alignment. So if you can walk us through that, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. I will say, you know, I tried different medications and the one that really was the hardest to get off of for me was Xanax. And I was only taking 1/8 of a pill that was 0.5 milligrams. And I had to do a cold, hard detox where, you know, and Xanax and any of those, especially the benzodiazepines, will accumulate in your system, and they don't have a half-life of 4 hours. They take months, if not a full year, to clear out of your system. That's the dirty secret no one ever tells you. So that took me 5 months of having severe rebound anxiety. And there is no way around it. You just have to really steel yourself to not be very productive and there were a couple of years I really didn't work much, where you just have to kind of say, all right, this is gonna suck. I'm gonna plan to nap every day and I'm gonna take some things off my plate and not be my best self for a while. But long term, it's like the best thing you'll ever do is to not be hooked on those medications, because they do, they take forever to get out of your system. So first and foremost, I had diet changes. One of the practitioners I worked with believed I had Epstein-Barr virus, because when I was younger, when my grandfather took my tonsils out, I had had ear infections every single month as a kid. My mom joked it was like getting my period, but like with antibiotics. And they were very classically trained practitioners. So of course there was antibiotics. There was no zinc and vitamin C and getting me off dairy and gluten and healing my immune system. None of that was even a thought. But clearly I did have some Epstein-Barr virus. My tonsils were always enlarged, always sick. And pregnancy and menopause and big hormonal changes do reignite the virus. It rears its ugly head and it goes from a dormant state into a live active state. So during that time, and this was the funniest thing, Molly, I had my book, Cave Women Don't Get Fat, coming out at that time. And I had to go on a vegan diet because Epstein-Barr feeds on animal fats, or so the theory goes. So I went vegan for a while, which was really, really hard for me. I felt okay in the beginning, but then, you know, my body was dying for meat and protein. But I went a good year without any red meat. I eventually brought in fish after about 6 months, and then chicken, and then eventually had red meat again. And I went on a good antiviral protocol with lots of silver and lysine and cat's claw and so many other, the coconut oil, the lauric acid, all of the monolaurin supplements, all of those really helped kill the viral load down. Then after that, I started doing environmental detoxes. I've been doing mold detox. We had a mold issue in our home, so I've had the mold remediated. Now I'm doing my second mold detox because the first didn't work. And we bought infrared sauna and put that in our home. So I do that 3 times a week, along with taking a lot of binders and medication. And then after that, we're going to redo my Lyme test because it wasn't so accurate. And mini Lyme tests, this will be, by the time I redo it, it will be my 4th Lyme test. But it's very possible. I live in Connecticut. I live in the woods. We hike all the time and we have a dog. It's very possible I've had a tick bite and did not know it. So that will be the next, I think, and final frontier. And then I'm also doing a GI map test to look at my gut function. I've done the Dutch test and I've done a lot of neurotransmitter therapy. And that is what enabled me to sleep once I got off the Xanax, was the neurotransmitter therapy. Really, really important. And if you've had any kind of gut inflammation, which I knew I did on Epstein-Barr, I put my before and after pictures on social media of like, I look 5 to 6 months pregnant in one picture and the next picture, like me rocking a bikini body, it really made a big difference. And I did test positive for parasites too, through an infectious disease specialist in New York. So, right, there's so many layers, so many onions, and layers of the onion. I work on one layer at a time. You're hearing a 13-year journey. This did not happen overnight.
Yes. Thank you so much for sharing all of that, because it's one, I really appreciate you, what you said about Xanax, because there are just so many people that, you know, by the time they come to sleep as a skill, they, for many of them have been on, particularly Xanax. That's a big one that I hear people coming through, and they're, whether or not they're trying to get off it or failed attempts at getting off of it. And of course, other drugs in the benzodiazepine group or the hypnotics group, but the difference that can be made on the other side of that. Because of course, we know what that does to inhibit some of the really important areas of sleep. The sleep architecture that we want to be encouraging are really not able to be accessed in the same way when we are on those really sedatives. So I really appreciate you sharing that journey, because it is not an easy road and the vulnerability that that takes. So thank you. And so I'm taking notes as you're speaking, and like the list of all the different tests that you went through, right? So I wonder if you can help share some insight for people, because this is one of the things that I'll speak to with people, and then they just get so overwhelmed and kind of have this analysis paralysis, decision fatigue of where to begin, and also just the financial fatigue of how much is this going to cost? Where do I start? You know, and then they don't take a step. So where would you say, and I know this obviously it's different case by case basis, but do you have kind of a basic rubric for people if they are having this difficulty around sleep where it might be make sense to begin?
Yes. And I'm glad you brought that up, because certainly know that whoever is listening to this, like, I'm a practitioner, so I'm going to just embrace every therapy that comes my way, because I know it will help me help you. But no, most people, I do not put most people through what I have gone through, because usually we solve the problem long before then. My case is probably one of the worst I have seen. I do have a brother who's disabled, and he has horrible sleep because he's in chronic pain, and he refuses to do the prescription meds. So I understand that. But for the most part, a lot of this is fixable and it will improve. So I don't want to scare you away. Typically where I personally start, there's two tests I will do. And usually I even start with one of those two. One is the Dutch test. The Dutch stands for dried urine test for comprehensive hormones. And I like the Dutch test because a lot of people who come to me are menopausal women or middle-aged men, all having sleep issues. So the Dutch test, first of all, it looks at all 7 of your progesterones, 7 of your estrogens, 7 of your testosterones. If you have a blood test done, this will look at 1, maybe 2. This is a urine test, so it looks at the metabolites. It looks at how you're producing. It looks at their ratios to each other. And it looks at how you're metabolizing and methylating and detoxifying these or not. So as we go through menopause, for example, your progesterone can really drop. And progesterone is responsible for helping your brain make GABA and your gut make GABA, which is a neurotransmitter which helps you fall and stay asleep. So speaking of neurotransmitters, the Dutch test also looks at neurotransmitters. And so we can tell in your brain, you know, what's happening. Do you have some gut inflammation going on where you're not able to make the right neurotransmitters? Because the right neurotransmitters, they're chemical messengers in your brain that go out to your body and say, and they're a lot, most of them, 90% of them are made in your gut, in your intestinal tract. So they talk to the body and say, it's time to go to sleep now, or it's time to stay asleep now. They won't let you wake up all night long. They put you in a, you know, in a deep, deep state of rest and repair. So the Dutch looks at neurotransmitters, looks at hormones. It also looks at awakening cortisol and metabolized cortisol. And again, cortisol is a stress hormone, small amounts, it's a Goldilocks hormone, right? Small amounts are great, like during exercise, but then chronically elevated cortisol is not. And what I'm seeing is people are having very high cortisol levels 24/7. And so what's happening is they're getting out of bed, like wired and tired, like they can't sleep. And they get up and their cortisol is jacked so high, just their baseline. This is before they've even had a cup of coffee. So their cortisol jacked really high, and then by afternoon they crash and burn, and then at night it comes up again. So I personally had a reverse cortisol pattern. My cortisol was low all day and then high all night. So that was like, right? Okay.
Yes, same. Mm-hmm.
How are you correcting that? How are you working on that, Molly?
Oh, so that was when I was in the height of my insomnia. So it was the exact opposite. I was having like nocturnal panic attacks. It was just a mess. And yeah, that was really that long journey of kind of repairing that. And so that's really where Sleep as a Skill was born out of, was exactly that problem. So thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah. So that the Dutch is a great starting point, because it will enable me to say, how can we naturally balance your hormones? with supplements, with diet, with lifestyle and stress management. And then do you need some hormone replacement therapy also to get your GABA up? And a lot of women come to me and just do so beautifully adding in different types of estrogens, either creams or gels or topicals, progesterone, same thing. These hormones can be oral too, but I like to get ones compounded through a pharmacy so that they're bioidentical. But I have clients that do fine on synthetics too. So I don't let perfect be the enemy of done. If someone just wants to go to a regular doctor and not go into functional medicine route, and they get progesterone that works for them, far be it from me to stop them. I'm all about the end game of sleep without pharmacology if possible and getting people off. And the way, you know, the nice thing is with supplements, right? You can add in the supplements and then gradually decrease the medication. So there's a minimal transitional effect. I did it cold turkey. I didn't have the supplements to really back me up. I kind of did it in reverse. My practitioners, the people I went to just didn't know how to really help me. It took me a while to find the right ones. So I kind of did not the way I would tell anyone else. So it's great because I help people minimize, you know, the transition of getting off their medication while getting on their supplements. So that's nice.
It's great. Do you have any suggestions for people that, I know you're in Connecticut, right, neighboring over by New York and New Jersey, that can have some difficulty with the testing, you know, kind of regulations around the Dutch test or any of these tests, unfortunately, can get tricky in those states. Any suggestions for those people who are particularly dealing with some sleep disturbances right now, based on what they're dealing with the virus and, you know, a number of other issues compounded?
Yes. Well, so the upside of the Dutch test is you can do it at home. You don't have to go to a Quest or anything. But if you're in a state that's stricter with regulations, there is a box you can check where you certify you've done the test out of state. So you can go visit a relative and do it there. You can cross the state line to collect some pee samples, you know, to do the best you can to work around it for sure.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that too, because that's been such a blocker for so many of my New York, New Jersey clients. So hopefully that will be something that progresses so we don't even have that in the conversation. But, and then for the rest of us in within America, that's something that we can do. And then of course, outside of, you know, internationally, you know, some of my other clients are working with different, you know, so like Let's Get Checked is another one that's pretty international, you know, so there's a couple other sources that we can utilize to ensure that people aren't being stopped based on their geography. It's so tricky based on where people are and so many things to consider. Okay, so then you get your testing done, you see that there's abnormality around your hormones, and you had mentioned some of the steps that people can take. For those people that, like I do have some clients that they say they don't want to take anything synthetic or external, do you have any suggestions for those people from a behavioral standpoint or as far as dietary or exercise that you would suggest?
Yes, but I want to say just from a place of, without judgment, but just real empowerment, is all the yoga in the world cannot raise your progesterone. It's, or your, you know, maybe your testosterone a little bit, but at some point, right, when you're sick of being sick and you've just had enough, you will do whatever it takes to get better and kind of get over that hump, that block. But certainly there is a lot you can do lifestyle wise. If it's more of a cortisol issue and less of a menopausal issue, if it's a trauma, a death in the family, a divorce, a life change, a move, of course, those can all spark insomnia at any given point. So a couple of real basics that probably a lot of people say, but bear repeating. Okay. Number one is good old fashioned meditation. There is clinical research on monks where CAT scans were done on the brains before and after meditation, and the difference in blood flow to regions of the brain, particularly where your amygdala is, that's your fight or flight center that gets activated under stress. So we now know that blood flow to the amygdala changes under duration of meditation, you know, and all it takes is 10, 20 minutes a day. Doesn't even all have to be at one time. But within 60 to 90 days, you can reshape the amygdala, and hormones start from the top down. So this is a great example. I had a woman come to me with horrible Hashimoto's. She didn't know she had Hashimoto's. We ran tests. Her doctor did half of them. I said, go back to your doctor and do the other half. And lo and behold, her autoimmune titers were through the roof for Hashimoto's. And she was an EFT therapist. That's the emotional freedom technique, the tapping. And she had gone through two horrible divorces and had horrible PTSD. And we said, you need to actually take your own medicine because like the supplements aren't going to fix this until you fix the stress piece. And she did. And without any medication, her thyroid returned to completely normal and her antibodies dropped. We took dietary measures to make sure her antibodies dropped. We cleared out gluten, we cleared out dairy. But hormones, at the story illustrates how hormones start from the top down. And if you don't manage your stress, like nothing's gonna get fixed. And no amount of pills or diet changes will change if you also don't embrace the mental piece. That's how important it is. So it's meditation, it's journaling if need be, where you do A, you write down at least three, I like to say 10 things you're grateful for, because it really reframes the context of your stress and your problems. I'm a big believer in living in a clutter-free home. Clutter creates a tremendous amount of stress, disorganization, and anxiety. And that, like, I always keep a notepad next to my bed. And I, at night, kind of before I meditate, I do a brain dump of what I need to get done the next day, who I need to reach out to, loose ends that need tying up, you know, all those things are really, really, really important. So decluttering your mind, decluttering your home environment, physically exercising as well also is great for sleep. If you are someone with insomnia where maybe you fall asleep, you can't stay asleep, you know, or any kind of insomnia, even if you can't fall asleep, but you do stay asleep, get your exercise first thing in the morning. And outdoor exercise, the light spectrum is 100 times greater than indoor light. So getting outside, regulating your circadian rhythm, your melatonin production, all of those pieces are really important. And getting outside in nature lowers cortisol as well. No caffeine past 12. You know, I have many people with such bad insomnia, we cut out caffeine altogether and their energy actually comes up. They feel much better. And I remember the height of my insomnia, I couldn't even tolerate caffeine. Because you're I felt nauseous on a cup of tea. I couldn't do it.
And also for women, I'm sure when you're managing this delicate balance of hormones and sex hormones and the amount of stress that can kind of flare up and adrenal elements that can kind of get dysregulated with caffeine, you know, large amounts of caffeine at different times of the day you're really pointing to something powerful there. Sometimes it warrants being eliminated for a period of time, if not indefinitely. And that's why I mentioned for women in particular, you know, because then we have to be mindful of our infradian rhythm in addition to our circadian rhythm. So those are a lot of things for us to kind of pay attention to. You also mentioned this topic of carb snacks, cherry juice, some of these kind of approaches that you have that can make a difference in sleep and optimizing for sleep. I was wondering if you could speak about those.
Yes. So in the wake of paleo and keto and a lot of really low carb eating plans with insomnia, something that really, really helps is to have a carb snack before bed. And you can pair it with protein if you like, a couple of rice cakes, a spoon of raw honey. Some people do fine on some fruit. You know, most nutrition experts are like, I cannot believe you're recommending carbs before bed. That's going to make you fat. So if someone doesn't want carbs before bed, they can have a really nice amount of carbs at dinner, at least 3/4 cup to a cup of carbs to jack up your serotonin and dopamine. Because the thing is this, you can either not have the carbs and not sleep. This is if carbs work for you, right? You can have the carbs and not sleep, which is going to disrupt your insulin sensitivity and your blood glucose and make you gain weight. Or you can have a little bit of carbs and you sleep through the night, which resets your insulin receptors and manufactures your growth hormone and lowers your insulin and your cortisol. So of course I'm in camp B, right? And I can tell you after years and years and years of experimenting, I can always tell on the nights I didn't sleep that I had a lower carb dinner because I'm just not always hungry at night. I eat well during the day. My appetite's well controlled. It's like I almost have to force feed myself carbs at night sometimes. But if I don't, it really bites me in the ass. And the most liberating thing I heard was working with a practitioner who was like, genetically, you actually really need carbs. It's like, thank you. That's what I felt my whole life. And I'm not someone who's ever gotten lean on, you know, keto or anything that low carb. I feel terrible. So it's really metabolically individual. Now, I do have some clients that, I'll be honest with you, one of my clients, a male, he got a horrible headache after trying honey at night and he wasn't sleeping. When we did his Dutch test, his metabolized cortisol was literally off the charts. It was the highest I'd ever seen. And he kept complaining about nighttime urination and all. So we're really working on lowering, you know, his cortisol, upping his neurotransmitters, and in time, and having his eat really regularly. He was overeating. He was eating a ton of sugar during the day. He was a recovering addict and just always craved that sugar. So it's really rebalancing his neurotransmitters. And his personality, when we first started working, he was very anxious. He always, you know, was reaching out needing support. And since then, I've noticed just a shift where he's more centered and calm. And sometimes these take months too. The difference is that the hardest thing for people, I think, Molly, is that medication works that night. Medication works within an hour, right? Natural remedies don't. They take months to work. One of the other things I did was my doctor had me injecting DSIP. It's a delta-induced sleep peptide. And she said, oh, no problem. This will work in 1 to 2 months. It took 4 months for it to work for me to see a difference. So, and she said, oh, that's good to know. You're different than other people. And especially if you're one of those people, I don't know if you are, this is me to a T, whatever works for everyone else never works for me.
I get
so
that.
Yeah. Those people, and like the wind blows differently and your body freaks out and you're sensitive to everything, right? Then, you know, you have to know it's going to be a longer ride and just to be patient.
Yes. And it's interesting too. I have a lot of people wearing continuous glucose monitors to monitor this topic of glucose instability throughout the day and the night and to see how much that can fluctuate while we're sleeping. And, you know, so we do a lot of kind of manipulation for people to find that balance to ensure that then they're not having those crashes. Yeah, that can be very problematic for sleep and then just for mood management, emotional regulation, and yeah, a number of things. It's fascinating how much of a difference that can make.
And, you know, the first and second half of the cycle, you can see a huge difference in your blood sugar fluctuation too, if you're still a menstruating female.
100%. Yeah. So we, so women have all the more work cut out for us in this biohacking arena because there's a lot of other things that are not necessarily count ownable depending on where you are in your cycle. So they can very drastically shift. So, okay. So to finish that too, do you recommend the cherry juice as well?
Yeah. Cherry juice, you know, 2 ounces of tart cherry juice helps boost melatonin production as well. But here's the other thing is you ever see all those Tylenol PM commercials and how, oh, they help you sleep. Well, guess what? A lot of people don't realize that they have a lot of aches and pains that are waking them up. And that's why the Tylenol works so well. And so a great joint detox is celery juice in the morning and cherry juice at night. And I've seen it clear out gout, get down, you know, people with chronic back pain start sleeping better, people with just arthritic joints or autoimmune conditions where they're really inflamed, the cherry juice and the celery juice help with the joint inflammation too. So if you're cleaning up inflammation, you'll sleep better too. That's another piece of the puzzle.
Big time. Absolutely. And then along with depression and that conversation for as it relates to depression and anxiety and how that can link up with inflammation, great points there. And then you also mentioned, of course, blue blockers. So we know of the power around light and sleep, and of course, circadian rhythm, light being one of the number one impactors as external cues to regulating our circadian rhythm. So I was wondering if you could share your practices with being mindful of your blue light and, you know, wearing different blockers and how you manage all that.
Yeah. So I was looking on my desk here. My blue blockers are by my bedside, but at night I do wear blue light blockers. You can get really beautiful pairs on Amazon. Like when I first started, I had those dorky construction worn glasses, right? You know, after 8 p.m., I really try and shut my phone off and not look at it. I put it on nighttime mode, but inevitably, right, the nights we're on the phone late, the news cycle being what it is, it's will make anyone not sleep. And I do have many nights as it is lying awake thinking about things. So, and the state of the world. So, and your phone, by the way, you can get apps that will work offline where you can turn off your Wi-Fi connection and not. And so if you do meditate at night, wear your blue light blockers to get to the screen you need to get to on your phone. And then, you know, shut the phone off Wi-Fi, put it in airplane mode so it's not emitting EMFs. There's now, you know, clinical studies that show that the EMFs emitted from a cell phone that's within 10 feet of you raises cortisol at night. So it's important to take it really seriously. But yeah, the blue light blockers, I could practically fall asleep. I do watch TVs at night a few nights a week, and the nights I'm wearing my blue light blockers in front of the TV, like I could fall asleep on the couch. It just, whatever reason, it just blocks the light better. I get much sleepier because it obviously blocks the blue light. But I think, again, creating a bedtime ritual where you're not on a screen up until the very second you get into bed. And everyone's like having threesomes. It's like themselves, their spouse, and their iPad, right? It's a big fat threesome.
That's so funny. I haven't heard it described like that, but that's so true. Love that.
It's a threesome. So yeah, you want to make sure you do not have technology. I always say the bedroom is for sleeping and sex, and that's it. Like no TVs. I've literally had many clients take their TVs out of the bedroom. Even things like a smoke alarm or a fire detector, put black electrical tape over them, cover the lights, get blackout shades. I know you guys all talk about this, the sleep mask, the earplug, the noise machine, you know, do what you have to do. Write down things your brain is not busy at night and go to sleep, or take some homeopathics or put some lavender on your pillow and take your nutrients and go to sleep. Create a ritual around it though.
I love what you're speaking to. Yeah. And clearly this has come from so much research, time, energy, effort, trial and error, all the thing, you know, to get to this point. So I so appreciate you sharing all of this. And I'm wondering if you can help parse out for people a bit more, because I know you have been quite the accomplished writer as well. And so what the different books that you have created, what those can do in this conversation around sleep, and then also how people can learn more about you, be connected to what it is that you, all the things that you're putting out right now.
Sure. So the biggest way the books will help, if you just are hearing this for the first time and you really don't know where to start and feel very overwhelmed, start with blood sugar balance. That alone can get people off their Z-pill at night. And these are literal testimonials I've heard from people who just read my books or wrote an Amazon review. So start, you know, Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous is my first book. The whole motto is your body may be a temple, but who says it can't be a nightclub? So it's really like the Sex and the City app for nutrition. You know, there's a chapter in there on hangover recovery, on PMS, on sex, great sex through great nutrition. And just, it's very fun and a good overall foundation of how to get protein, what are the right carbs, what are the right fats, and just a pink Bible, if you will. Secrets of Gorgeous is one tip per page of just overall wellness tips. And then there was the Eat, Drink, and Be Gorgeous project. And that really speaks to women who have been, you know, eating a fairly balanced diet, but not seeing the results they did maybe in their 20s. This is for women in their, you know, 30s, where getting in shape or staying in shape is harder. So I have high protein meal plans on there. I have muscle building plans. I have gluten and dairy free. I have a balanced plan. All of those are sure to balance your blood sugar. get you accountable. There's a food log in there as well to really produce some cognitive behavioral therapy for you so that you really know how to start incorporating bigger changes in your life. And there's post-workout muscle mocktails in there, supplement recommendations. And then my final book, Cave Women Don't Get Fat, is a paleo diet for women because most paleo diets are written for men. So this book kind of starts to get into more of the effect that nutrients have on your hormones, on your adrenals, on your thyroid, how protein affects you, the first and second half of the cycle, and how your blood sugars change. And there's lots of recipes in there. And that book is great for women, you know, in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, beyond. And I'm proud to say I've had a lot of strangers read it and say they've lost 25 pounds in 3 months. And it really balanced their blood sugar, fixed a lot of inflammation in the gut. So those are some great books too.
That's excellent. And I'm sorry, you said too, for your website, did you mention that one?
On my website too, I have 3 free eBooks as well.
Great.
So my website is Esther Blum. It's ESTHERBLUM, EstherBlum.com. And for the first 12 people who hear this, I've opened up some spots in my calendar. You can book a 30-minute strategy session with me where you'll come away with 3 customized strategies for you to, you know, get results on a goal that you are working on. So it's a $500 value. I cannot recommend it enough. To book it, you go to estherblum.com/call. And awesome. You can also, when you opt into my list, you can get a free ebook on how 3 simple tricks to lose 3 pounds this week, which again, the tricks in that book, I'll be honest with you, they will apply to your sleep. They will benefit you across the board.
Truly. Yeah, that's one of the most interesting things when you begin to really take on your sleep is you discover that in order, you might go into it thinking, okay, in order to impact my sleep, it's going to look very linear. It might be nighttime approach, but really so much of what we need to do occurs during daylight hours. Involves, you know, what we're eating, when we're moving, the way we're moving, you know, so many things to impact, you know, one, just getting to homeostasis with our sleep, and then two, then going to optimize and actually improve beyond what's kind of considered normal for sleep in the 21st century anyway.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the one thing we didn't really cover here was booze also, which is like
yes.
The biggest wrench in the sleep works and the hormone department and the thyroid functioning. So booze, sadly, you know, for some people, a glass of wine helps them sleep. For the majority, it helps wake them up.
Yeah.
And causes that anxiety when your liver's trying to detox in the middle of the night and your blood sugar drops and your cortisol goes up. So I would say very few people sleep better on booze. Most people sleep much better off booze.
100%. Yeah. Thank you for putting in that asterisk and that very important reminder because, you know, we'll have so many people that will look to, well, how can I organize this? How can I strategize? How can I biohack this? And largely it is one of those things that, you know, there's small, you know, if you're going to do it, okay, fine. Maybe put it earlier in the day, what have you, but largely it's not going to work. You'll see it in your sleep. I can always tell with clients because I'm tracking them on all different types of sleep trackers across the globe. And I will know if they drank the night before unequivocally. For most people, it's just so clear. And you'll see raise in, you know, body temperature, heart rate, drop in HRV, multiple wake-ups. I mean, it's just so obvious. It's wild. And believe me, I would love to find the ability to make that not the case. And yet it very much is if you want to take this area seriously. So thank you for reminding us of that.
Oh, true. Well, and you just get up to pee many times a night. I mean, even that alone is just so disruptive.
Yes, absolutely. 100%. And then you're hot and headaches. And I mean, come on. Yeah. So yeah, thank you so much for putting that in there. And then we'll also be sure to include all the books and the website in the show notes. And thank you for that generous offer around the calls. So that's wonderful for people to take advantage of. Because as you've evidenced and as you've gone through yourself, you know, you can either take multiple years, which, you know, same for me and for you of trying to navigate this or partner with others that have kind of been there and can help shortcut, you know, all the processes that it does take and help eliminate a lot of the suffering that doesn't have to be that way. And look, on the other side, I think it's important to remember the positive on, for personally in my journey, I know I would not have been so committed to my health unless it had gotten so bad that I had to actually really change everything. And, you know, you clearly you're so committed to your health and well-being as a result of all this and the awareness, the unusual level of awareness that now you have and can help guide people around to help support their sleep and the commitment that it takes to live a life like that. Bring up, put your blue blockers on, do the things, you know, that are required to maintain this. You know, it's just important to remember that that is possible and that does come as a result of sometimes the suffering that we go through, but we can expedite the process by which we navigate that when we do, you know, have these kind of conversations. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Oh, my pleasure. It's, yeah, whatever it takes, you know?
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. Well, thank you for taking the time. I really, really appreciate it. And maybe we'll have to have you back for a part two follow up on kind of parsing out more of those, all the tests that you outlined. And there's a lot there.
I would love that. Thanks, Molly.
You've been listening to the Sleep is a Skill podcast, the number one podcast for people who want to take their sleep skills to the next level. Every Monday, I send out something that I call Molly's Monday Obsessions, containing everything that I'm obsessing over in the world of sleep. Head on over to sleepisaskill.com to sign up.